It's time for the Fantasy Points Podcast, brought to you by FantasyPoints.com. Top-level fantasy football and NFL betting analysis from every perspective and angle, from numbers to the film room, with a single goal, to help you score more fantasy points.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the divisional round of the Matchup Points live stream here at FantasyPoints.com. I am John Hansen. That is Mr. Adam Kaplan over there, Mr. Greg Cosell. What's up, Adam? What's up, Greg? Yo. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're
playing football.
How about that Saturday and Sunday, guys? How much time we spent on the couch? I got about 19 hours.
Then followed by the national championship game. It was a lot of football.
That is true.
Alabama team. They're a semi-pro team anyway.
Oh, I know. Well, Greg Cosell, we'll do a little spoiler alert. You know, you're going to be starting on the 2021 draft guide pretty soon. So
cool. Started.
Already started. So, I mean, Mac Jones, I can't wait to see what you think of Mac Jones. But we're going to talk a little divisional round, of course. And we'll start with the Rams at the Packers here. First game of the weekend, Adam. And how about Jared Verdier getting signed despite playing for the Colts last week and then now on the COVID list? So what are they going to do at left tackle?
Yeah, well, I don't know that he was going to be playing anyway.
Okay. I just kind of plugged him on in there.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But he was with them late last season, last December. So it's been over a year since he was with them. But yeah, look, the thing is, no one else got COVID, thank goodness, off of this. And in fact, this is the healthiest the Packers have been in 2 months. The only guy who's going to miss the game, Greg knows him, the Kiki kid, the defensive tackle, but that's it. So
Kingsley Kiki.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like saying that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he needs to be teamed up with Kiki Kuti. Greg, this game's got a pretty low total. I think it's like 45. And you know, it does seem like a really tough matchup here for Green Bay. And then really, really for Jared Goff, too. I think the biggest weakness on both sides might be the Green Bay Packer run defense here. But, you know, your thoughts on Green Bay's offense, we'll start there. It's not just Jalen Ramsey. I get that. They play with a lot of discipline. They may not have big names, but they're really, really good. But you got to think Ramsey going to see a lot of Devontae Adams. I mean, this is why you traded 2 number one picks for Jalen Ramsey. So, you know, how difficult.
So your argument would be, John, that they've not done this all year. And now all of a sudden, having the best defense in the NFL, they're going to do something different than they've done all year.
Well, they have done a little bit of traveling with Ramsey, right? I mean,
hardly any.
What about the Metcalf matchup? Because that seemed like he was on them.
Hardly at all.
Really?
If he matches up, here's what they do. When a quality receiver plays the boundary X position, which Metcalf does, and Adams will do times, then Ramsey matches up. When that wide receiver is, let's say, the number one receiver to Trips, he might line up over him, but they don't match up man-to-man. So Ramsey is not a pure man corner, and he's not a traveling matchup corner. Now, having said that, could they change? I don't know the answer to that, but they've not done that all year. And clearly they have the best defense in the NFL and they play exceptionally well. So, you know, again,
everything you're saying is
open to speculation, but that's not the way they played.
Right, John, it's rare, extremely rare that a team's going to do anything different, except they might change their front the way that they deploy it. We saw Minnesota last year when they played the Saints. They changed the defense up, which is surprising. But in terms of coverages, the way that they play coverage, if they play the guy the same way that the entire season, it's unlikely they're going to change it.
Yeah. Very, very fair. I guess my argument would be, if you're ever going to do it, now's the time, because this is such a, I feel a very unique situation.
Oh, if Adam starts going off, well, sure. Hell yeah. Right. You got to do it.
Always in play too, Greg. I mean, if he's killing them, they could adjust in game and say, you know, forget whatever we did, you know, let's get him on.
They could. And again, this is all predictive and speculative, but they signed Ramsey for the big deal before the season, and they've not used him as a shutdown matchup corner pretty much all season. So we'll see. Yeah.
I mean, it's more about the outside, right? I mean, you know, that boundary receiver type of thing.
Well, when he lines up at boundary X and Adams will at times. Then what they do is they play Ramsey in pure man, almost like Revis Island. They play him in pure man, and the safety to that side cheats inside, doesn't even look at the boundary X receiver. It's pure man. It's zero man. That they do. But that's when the receiver lines up at boundary X. They don't travel. They have not traveled Ramsey pretty much. When I say travel, yes, they travel him in the sense that he will go to the side of the good receiver, but it's not a man-to-man situation unless he's the boundary X.
Yeah. What about the other parts of the secondary and their pass defense as a whole in terms of slowing down Adams? Because, I mean, you're hard-pressed to find more of a go-to guy, more of a cog in a receiving core than Adams this year. You know, what do the Panthers do? I don't know if you remember that tape or even saw that, but I couldn't believe what a good job they did against Green Bay. It wasn't even that long ago. I'm looking it up now.
Yeah, remember, they scored on their first drive and didn't score another touchdown. Remember, Rodgers looked really frustrated.
Yeah. Week 15. Yeah, it was week 15. A lot of zone, maybe.
I know, John, because I was going up against them in my fantasy, my semifinal. And when they scored on the opening drive, I'm like, I'm done. They're going to smoke the Panthers. And they didn't.
Well, what's interesting is the Panthers play a lot of zone, lot of cover four, and that's what the foundation is of the Rams. They play cover four. They play it as well as any team in the league. No team does as good a job in cover four in terms of passing along receivers, passing off receivers, carrying receivers based on route concepts. They're just very, very good at that. They've been doing that all season. And that's the belief that Brandon Staley has. He's a believer in cover four. They play more snaps of cover four than any team in the NFL. So that's a foundational coverage for them.
Yeah, then, you know, when we've seen guys like Marquez Valdes-Scantling, you know, there have been like busts a couple of times with him recently, right? I don't see that happening with this Ram D. In terms of somebody else maybe making an impact, I don't think anyone really jumps out as far as I'm concerned. I'm even including Tonyan because the Rams have been good against, you know, the tight end. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, someone other than Adams, who that might be and how they may beat this Ram defense?
Well, I don't know. They're going to get shut out. I mean, they got, you know, they got Rodgers, they got Jones, they got Adams. You know, Tonyan's been a really good player. You know, you have to scheme it. You have to scheme. When you play zone against zone,
you
have to scheme it. It's not just a case of let's beat this guy. And Matt LaFleur's background, you know, he comes from the McVay Shanahan background. He will scheme it. I'm not suggesting they're going to score 35, but I think there'll be plays to be made. And then they'll just have to make them. Now, the other factor, too, is the pass rush. And again, because the Packers have an issue with their O-line right now, we'll see how much of a problem the pass rush is. It could be a real problem. And I don't know what the weather's supposed to be. Meteorologist Adam Kaplan, do you know what the weather
is? Yeah, it's going to be cold.
I'll look at it in a second. But, man, I'm sure it's because the game didn't have as much meaning. But Billy Turner played left tackle as a guard and right tackle. So, like you said, John, I don't know if Velder would have been ready to start at left tackle, but this is a problem for me, Greg. How problematic could this be for them at left tackle if Billy Turner's got to play their left tackle against the Rams?
It'll be a little problematic for sure. I mean, Leonard Floyd's playing really, really good football. They're also very multiple with their fronts. They line up in what we call that tilted front, where both Donald and it could be Floyd, it could be someone else, lines up outside of him, but they both line up outside the offensive tackle. And that's a very, very difficult front to pass protect against.
Seems like when they get pressure, though, it either comes from the middle or the left side with like Brockers or Floyd. For what it's worth, that was just a small takeaway. But wouldn't it make a lot of sense? I know their identity has been Rodgers, but I mean, Adam, I'll go to you. Wouldn't it make a lot of sense to say, you know what, Aaron Jones, you're averaging 6.9 yards a carry the last four games. We're going to feed you the ball here against this tough defense.
I mean, that's hard to predict. There's really no way to predict this game from the Packers standpoint because the Rams, if you look at what they've done the last 2 months on defense, the Jets got some plays against them, which is shocking, but that maybe they'd bring it mentally for that game because they know they're playing Seattle the next week. But overall, it's hard to move the ball against this defense. I'd be very surprised if Rodgers has a big game. I just don't see it. Now, how about Jones in the pass game? Something we saw a ton of last year, not this season. He's certainly capable of doing it. I like to see that. What are they against the tight end, the Rams?
I'll call it up right now. My numbers weren't great. I mean, it doesn't look like a great matchup by the numbers for Tunyon. They've been pretty decent against the tight end all year. They have not really given up much.
Yeah, and by the way, Kupp's knee, he's got bursitis. They went into the week thinking he wouldn't probably practice, and that's what happened. So, you know, he didn't do anything this week. So, because his knee's not, they didn't calm the bursitis down.
Yeah.
So he's questionable, but I still believe he's going to play.
And real quick, I'll call up the numbers here. I only have the last 4 weeks, but I have other data points that I can bring up on Tunyon. But, you know, I'm not loving life here with the matchup. I only gave him three catches for 37.
Yeah, I think overall this is a relatively low scoring game. I just don't see, and plus not Goss playing with a bad thumb. I don't see a lot of offense in this game. I'd be surprised.
Yeah, they've only, I mean, granted, it's, you know, it's a question of who they've played, but they've only given up three catches a game to tight ends the last 4 weeks, one touchdown total, all that. Greg, on the other side of things, I certainly think it's a challenging matchup for Jared Goff. I think, tell me if you agree, that the Packer defense probably peaking now. Is that fair to say, playing their best, especially on that back end?
Oh, they've been pretty solid all year on the back end. Another team that doesn't play a lot of man coverage. Jari Alexander plays left corner. Kevin King plays right corner. Right. To me, the more interesting matchup, because we just don't know about Goff. We just don't know how he can throw it. We don't know what the weather will be. Yeah. The big question for me is Cam Akers. He's had 20-plus carries in four of the last five games. We know Mike Pettine does not necessarily like to play out of his base defense. He did against Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry is a different cat than Cam Akers.
Yeah.
Will he line up in his nickel to match up to the run game, even when the Rams have two tight ends on the field? So we'll see. It depends, of course, on the flow of the game, how many carries Cam Akers will get. But Cam Akers is their back now, and I would expect him to get meaningful carries unless the game gets away from the Rams early.
And he's shown he can handle volume, which we didn't know coming into the season, but he certainly can do that. Yeah.
No, he's averaging 21.5 carries a game the last four games.
Yeah.
Well, the last five, he's had four of the last five have been over 20 carries. And two of them, he's been 28 and 29 carries.
I mean, he's their identity. Right now, Cam Akers is the Rams' identity on offense.
Yeah, weather's mid-30s, wind not negligible.
I mean, that's not an issue for anything.
Yep, correct.
Yeah. So we have the Ram guys, you know, Jair Alexander is not going to travel, is going to play, you know, that left side, right, Greg, typically?
Yeah, he doesn't travel.
Yeah. You also have, there's no real matchup here because Robert Woods is in the slot a decent amount of the time too. So they'll move these guys all over the place. Is there a matchup in the passing game for Jared Goff that, you know, is somewhat appealing or choice? I don't really see much. I mean, tight end maybe, but. We can't trust these guys.
Yeah, they don't throw. It's like potluck with their tight ends. They've been a non-factor most of the season.
What? I mean, it's got to be the running game, right? That's Green Bay's weakness on defense. They're not great against the run, Greg. I mean, that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah, and then again, that will depend on the flow of the game. I mean, obviously, we're expecting that Green Bay is not going to go up 21-0 because the Rams' defense is very, very good. Yep. So if the game is close. Yep. Then I think you'll see them try to limit Goff as they did last week when he came in, and you'll see them run the football.
Yeah, I got Cam Akers with 18 carries. I mean, that's a little bit on the low end, but it's also showing some confidence that this guy's going to get the ball. And I have Goff throwing at 34, which may be a little too high, but I don't really have anything else on that scheme. I think we can move on here to the next game. Here is, oh boy, Baltimore at Buffalo, Greg, and I'm sure you studied the tape of this matchup last year. So what did...
Well, I actually did, believe it or not, because I was very anxious to see how Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier matched up because they did a really, really good job. And the way they play defense this year is totally different than the way they played last year. So it will be very interesting.
See, my thought was, you know, very disciplined. They probably kept Lamar in front of them.
I mean, obviously, you're trying to do that no matter how you play.
Yeah.
But last year, what they did is they played 4-3 stack with their two safeties split and very close to the line of scrimmage. Okay. Mm-hmm. This year, they don't play out of a base defense. Over 90% of their snaps this year come out of nickel. Teron Johnson does not come off the field. So he plays all the time, and he's very good against the run, very good against the run. So I don't think they're going to change. So what they did last year, conceptually, it could be similar, but personnel-wise, it will be different.
Yeah. And, you know, I think a lot of people see this. I know I do. We do. Kind of looking at Mark Andrews as kind of the key here. And not that Hollywood's going to see Tre'Davious, because that's another non-traveler this year.
The boundary corner.
Yeah. I really do think, though, Mark Andrews against this defense in the middle of the field, they have been a little suspect here, Greg. I mean, is it fair to say their, you know, inclination to slow down Lamar might open up opportunities in the middle of the field, let's say, for a guy like Andrews?
Well, it could. I think that when you play Baltimore, I'm not saying you just are willing to give up passes, because obviously you don't want to give up big plays for sure. But at the end of the day, you're defending the run, and the pass game, again, because it can be explosive, you're not going in with the idea, I'll let them throw it all over the yard, but they're not going to throw it all over the yard anyway. That's not the way they play. I mean, look what they did this week. The Titans actually did a phenomenal job stopping the run, and they did it a certain way, but they played with their corners off, and then they just started throwing those quick outs to Brown. It wasn't as if they were attacking down the field with Brown. They were throwing him 4-yard balls. So, which was actually a good tactic by the Ravens this particular week against the Titans, given what the Titans did. So when you talk about, I think, the way the Ravens play and the way they want to play, could Andrews have catches? Sure he could. But this is not – don't look at last week with Phillip Rivers throwing 46 times and the tight ends being a factor. That's not going to happen in this game.
Would you agree with the notion that the Raven running game – may have a little bit of an advantage against Buffalo? They've been a little sketchy against the run. I'm talking J.K. Dobbins, Gus Edwards, the whole package.
I think their run game always has an advantage because it's ridiculously hard to defend, and Lamar Jackson is a truly special athlete. So it's always a factor, and it's really difficult to defend.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel said after the game, what makes him so difficult is you have to basically cover the entire field with this run game.
Right.
And how do you do that, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
And that's why you see the plays to Mark Andrews, to Hollywood Brown. They're there. We know that they're a low volume passing team. They'll never change. But their plays are there when you're so hyper focused on stopping Jackson and stopping the run game. That's why you notice Hollywood gets open, man.
Yeah.
He does get open a lot.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking too. Like, you know, if you're kind of guarding the perimeter, the outside against Lamar in this running game, you know, that may leave you vulnerable for Mark Andrews, you know, in the middle of the field here. Not much else to get into, honestly. I mean, it's obviously Lamar in the running game, Andrews and Hollywood Brown. That's it. I mean, we're not using anyone else for fantasy. Now, Greg, on the other side of things, what did the Ravens do to Josh Allen? Or did he just
I didn't watch that side of the ball because Allen and that offense is so much better now.
Yeah, yeah.
So much better. Yeah. But they're going to blitz. They're going to blitz. I'm telling you right now. Martindale is going to blitz. They are not a reactive defense. They're a proactive defense, and they're going to make the Bills have to beat them versus pressure. And I think that we know that Josh Allen can get out of the pocket, but I do think they're going to have to pick up the blitzes at times, and he's going to have to make throws from the pocket as well, which, of course, he's done extremely well over the last 10, 11 games.
Yeah. I would assume Allen, though, in terms of grading him against the blitz this year, I'm sure he's been good though, right? How good?
Well, I mean, I have the numbers. I could probably tell you that, but he's been good in pretty much every area.
Exactly.
The blitz is not just him. Then it comes to picking up the blitz, right, you know, which obviously they have to do. And that has to be a critical piece because the Ravens are a very multi-dimensional blitzing team. Now, Josh Allen versus blitz. By the way, he's been blitzed more than any quarterback in the NFL.
Well, there you go.
Okay, he's been blitzed more than any quarterback in the NFL. He's been very good against blitz, 64%, 14 touchdowns, 2 picks. He's been very, very good. He's thrown for more yards against the blitz than any quarterback in the league.
Mm. Now, the Ravens play more man-to-man than most. Is that fair to say?
I could probably tell you that, too.
Yeah, I mean, per Sports Info Solutions, they do. I was just comparing that data with your film study, but
Ravens play a lot of man coverage. Yes, Now, basically, they're a single high safety defense. They play about 65% combination of cover one and cover three. Cover one, they play close to 50%. So they're a high percentage cover one defense, which is the man version of single high safety.
You think that leaves them a little more vulnerable?
Well, I think it presents opportunities.
Right.
That's right. What it presents. Whether they can convert is a different issue, but it presents opportunities. And Josh Allen is not a milquetoast guy. He's going to throw it.
Right. I was going to say, like, how about really chucking it down the field? Because they haven't really thrown deep balls a ton.
They've thrown more over the last number of weeks.
Right.
To and John Brown. And Allen has hit those.
Yeah. I'm thinking Johnny Brown here maybe might be a little bit of an X factor here. So, you know, they do have three good corners, though, Adam. So, there's a couple of games this weekend where it's like, you know, I'll try to analyze it, but I think we just sit back and watch the damn game here, you know, because it's hard to so evenly matched.
I know it's the toughest game of the playoffs so far to pick. You know, my head says it would not surprise me if the Ravens won.
Yeah.
Being the way that they can match up. They're one of the few teams that they're deep enough in the secondary to match up against Buffalo.
Yeah.
I wish that Beasley's knee was better. I mean, he's going to play. It is what it is. It's not right. But he did more this week than he did last week, where he didn't really practice.
He looked all right. He looked okay.
They spot played him.
He was looking around a little bit.
Yeah, they spot played him. So
right.
That was their plan, talking to them during the week, just to get him through it. Hopefully he'll be better this week because he's so good and they've got such great chemistry. Zach Moss being out. Look, is it a big deal? No, but he's a sure yardage back. And I don't know what Freeman has. He's on the practice squad, Devontae Freeman. I don't know what he could possibly do for them.
Greg, where are you right now with this Raven, you know, front? It feels like they might be, well, they're healthier. It feels like they might be peaking a little bit as well here. And might that be maybe an X factor here against Allen? This line, you know, it's not great. And it's not terrible, but it's
well, we know how Buffalo's going to play, John. They're not going to run the ball. I mean, they're going to run it just run it.
And they could.
They're not going to run the ball. Exactly. So it comes down to pass protection, and it comes down to picking up the pressures. That's what it comes down to as far as the O-line. They're not going to – the running game's irrelevant. Does that mean Singletary maybe once, you know, breaks a 20-yarder? Could that happen? Of course it could. But they're not going to run the ball.
Oh, I know. But Allen will try. And just in terms of the general matchup here, the in the trenches here, it feels like the Ravens trench-wise are, you know, looking as good as they've looked all year, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, they have everybody healthy, and I think the Bills have done a solid job. You know, and then you have the Allen factor, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Adam, any other injury notes here? I don't think so. I mean,
no.
Diggs, we assume, is going to go, obviously.
Yeah, they're all going. The only one is Moss, who that's a really bad ankle injury, so he even if they made the Super Bowl, he can't play. Baltimore's going to have they'll have Marcus Peters, and the Judon game is scared because he has an illness, but he's fine. He works.
The big question to me is what Baltimore is going to do versus four wide, because we know that the Bills will do that a lot. You know, it depends on the opponent. I mean, last week, the Colts, who never played dime when they went four wide, which they went, I think, 15 snaps or 16 snaps in the game, the Colts stayed with their nickel and played zone. Now, Baltimore does have more corners. They could line up with four corners against four wide if they choose to.
They have 39-year-old Tremont Williams. I'm guessing there is he's 37, the veteran. He's been around the block. Moving on to the next game here on Sunday, it is the Browns and Chiefs, and we all know it's a cliche, Greg. But I mean, Cleveland's got to come out and run that ball. I mean, the more they can run it.
Let's expose the myth right off the bat here.
Right.
In a normal NFL game, a team gets 12 offensive possessions, okay? That's a normal NFL game. So what is the goal of the opposing team? Is the goal of the opposing team to keep the other team on the sideline? Because if you do that, they go from 12 to 10 maybe. So if the Chiefs are playing well and they score 5 touchdowns, what needs to be the goal of the Browns? To score touchdowns, correct?
Right, score a lot of touchdowns. So you're saying come out
the Browns are going to do what they do regardless of who they play. Yep. People say, well, the Browns have to run the ball. They're going to run the ball if there were 35 defenders out there.
Yeah. No doubt.
This is what they do. Yeah. So they're not going to do anything different than they normally do. The key plan they've got to score touchdowns, which means that you might see a little more aggressiveness in the pass game because they're
early,
going to have to score touchdowns.
Early, yeah. They've been the second half of the season. I don't have them in front of me, but someone sent it to me. Their passing numbers in the first half have gone up.
They are. They're becoming a little bit more of a passing team.
Well, they're still – but no. Okay. Greg's right in theory. They'll always be a running team.
Yeah.
But in terms of analytics, they believe in it. And the way it's explained to me is they're, as long as this front office is there, they're going to come out trying to throw the ball more than they would run it normally because that's what they believe. And it's worked. They did against the Titans despite all the yards they put up on the ground. Check the first half number for your answer. This is what they're doing more.
A lot of teams believe, and this goes back, and I've had this conversation with Joe Banner for years.
That's where I learned it.
A lot of teams believe that you come, even running teams. The Cowboys were like this, even with Emmitt Smith, by the way. That you come out throwing the football, you build up a lead ideally. I'm not saying it'll happen against the Chiefs, but this is the philosophical model. You build up a lead, and then you grind away in the second half. So your running back ends up with a lot of carries, and your quarterback doesn't necessarily end up with a lot of attempts, but the attempts come in the first half when you've built up the lead.
And it looks like it's balanced when it really wasn't in the first half. Yeah.
Correct. So all I'm saying, John, is the goal should not be to keep the other quarterback on the sideline.
Oh, yeah.
That's a myth.
There's no way in hell
to be to score points.
And you can't do that. You got to score. Yeah,
you got to score.
I get it. But if the Browns end up winning and dominate time of possession, it's going to be, we're going to look
back
and say.
Just like the Colts dominated time of possession this week, and we're down 24-10 in the fourth quarter.
Because they tried to run the ball. It was so conservative. Exactly right. Can't do that.
You got to score touchdowns, John. Yeah.
The meathead run game guys, John, that, you know, they don't win. They never win because Pete Carroll's the only one to be able to do it.
Yeah.
Now you saw what happened when he micromanaged Brian Schottenheimer in the second half of the season. Completely.
Maybe a good way to say it is, the Chiefs, probably the best way to beat them is to have a dominant running game. And you know, that's part of your offense. Yeah. And that's moving the ball. And by the way,
you're trying to say is the best way to beat them is to run successfully when you run.
Yes.
Yeah. And is it fair to say that KC's run defense has been the weakness of their defense all year?
Yeah, because I think KC plays with the idea that we're going to score 30 plus. So if you want to run the ball, have at it, because history strongly suggests that running games don't put up anywhere near as many points as passing games. So it's why Spagnuolo also is so aggressive with pressure, because his feeling, I'm sure, is, hey, if we give up a big play here and there, big deal. They're going to have to hit a lot of those to beat us because our quarterback's going to put up 35.
Oh, yeah. I mean, no doubt. But I do think, though, despite me starting off with that cliche, I actually do think that they are leaning toward throwing it just a little bit more, maybe to be a little less predictive, Greg.
I agree. I couldn't agree more. Okay. Oh, no, I agree with that.
Yeah. And I think that part of that is getting Chubb involved in the passing game, too.
Oh, right? that 40-yard play, John. Oh, Greg was talking about this.
It always helps when the defense busts.
Hey, but you know what? When you throw a guy way off from an arm tackle, it's pretty.
Oh, no. I mean, yeah. But no, they will. I think we all agree. They're going to run it, of course, because that's part of who they are.
Yeah.
But they also know Stefanski's not an idiot. He's been around a while. He also knows that they're going to have to score touchdowns.
Yeah. And how do they move the ball in this matchup here, Greg? I mean, you know, Hooper's been a big factor. Jarvis has been real nice. Probably move him all over the place. You know, the secondary is pretty good. Your thoughts on this matchup? They do play. They probably still play a lot of man. You know, the problem with the Browns is just don't have a lot. You know, the weaponry there for Baker is not great. You know, that's
well, what they don't have is a vertical dimension. That's what they really lack.
Right.
But so they have to try to create big plays schematically, which Stefanski, by the way, is very, very good at. But they have to try to create that because they don't have one guy who's just going to line up and let's say, let's take our shots and we'll hit the big one. So they have to scheme it.
Oh, Batonio still has not been activated. He's the last guy.
Right. Yeah. They do a little bit of that with Higgins, but it's almost like Donovan Peoples-Jones is kind of like
that. Well, he can run. You know, again, are you counting on him, a rookie who's obviously played a lot more in the last part of the season? Yeah, they could easily take a shot with him. Look, they set up a big play against the Titans for Peoples-Jones. Now, the corner he was going against was Breon Borders, but still, they set up a big play for him, and it worked.
Yeah. Injury-wise here, Adam, anything else stand out to you, at least defensively for KC as we wrap up the Browns offense?
No, the one, Sammy Watkins has the same injury he had before their bye. And he hasn't practiced yet. So that obviously is going to – he's a calf injury. And he's had calf problems, John, this season. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they think he's going to be able to play. He didn't work today, but that might have been by design because he did work some on Wednesday. Willie Gay, Greg, how is he a factor at all as a linebacker?
Well, he only plays when they're in base, and they could be in base more depending on what Cleveland does. Cleveland could line up with 2-3 tight ends, and Willie Gay could play, but he only plays in base.
Gotcha. Oh, Conklin, John, he's got two injuries.
He's out.
That's a problem.
That's a factor. I know one of them's a hamstring.
Yes, correct. So they have not said he's out yet, but don't look good.
Okay. Yeah. Now, you know, Baker's potential in some ways, in my mind, is tied to their defense and their ability to slow down Mahomes. And
without question.
You said all year that they're vulnerable to big plays, potentially, just the way they line up.
Well, that's why we spent all this time talking about what the Browns have to do offensively, because unless you believe that the Chiefs are not going to play well offensively, and that's not likely. So if they play well offensively, they're going to score. There are really difficult matchups, Adam. You know, I mean, Denzel Ward's back this week, right?
He's back. Yeah, it's amazing. Like Stefanski's back, just about everybody's back.
But still, they're not a great defense. I mean, there's not going to be anything about this defense that the Chiefs are going to look at and feel we can't exploit.
They get turnovers, but they give up a lot of production. This is not a week. Well, thank goodness they got Denzel Ward back. But we've been talking about the safety issue that they've had all season. I expect them to exploit every matchup they have in the secondary. They're plays to be had here for the Chiefs. There's no question.
Yeah. I mean, they play a lot of zone. They have been, Greg, you may have picked up on it, but I studied the data all year. They've been bad against slot receivers all year and tight ends as well. And then Ward's not really a matchup corner. I mean, they're not going to travel Ward on Tyreek either. Right.
So well, Tyreek lines up all over the formation.
Yeah.
And he'll line up an awful lot.
Yeah, he plays a lot. Yep.
You know, I guess if Myles Garrett has a huge day, right? I mean, that would help. Greg, that's probably one of the only ways the Browns can, you know, contain these guys if Garrett has a huge day, right?
Well, without anything totally abnormal happening, okay? Punt return touchdown, kickoff return touchdown, excess turnovers, which, you know, again, any of these things can happen. It's the playoffs. But if you just look at this as a normal game based on the two teams, the Browns are going to have to score points, a meaningful number of points.
I can't imagine that the Chiefs won't score at least 30 in this game. I can't imagine. The Browns are not good enough on defense, personnel-wise.
Yeah. You know, the total, for what it's worth, isn't that high. I mean, I think it's like 52. I'm going to call it up right now. I guess that's fairly high.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty high.
Well, look.
I've seen higher.
Here's the question, guys, and I have to look this up, but – if the Browns get behind this game by double digits, which is certainly a very good possibility, is this a team that could throw the ball to win?
Well, yeah, that's the other point. We'll find it's actually 57.5. So that's actually big. Okay. We'll learn that, you know, and that's ultimately my problem with Baker, because I don't really have a ton of confidence. Although, you know, Jarvis is probably going to get 9, 10, 11 targets. He'll probably be busy.
Depending on the game.
Yeah. Hooper's been a go-to guy. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And then last but not least, the Tampa Bay Bucks and the New Orleans Saints. That game has a total of 52. And it looks like, I believe it's Tampa +3. So pretty much even. I mean, Greg, fascinating. It's just fascinating. This is a game where I'll give out my thoughts if anyone wants them. But otherwise, I mean, let's just watch the game play out, because it's tight. You know, I mean, we've got the two games on the docket already, which don't bode well for Tampa. We've got Tampa's D not playing all that well. I mean, when you looked at this game for the matchup show, like, where did you start? You know, like Brady's protection, because that was the problem last time.
Well, the issue they've had against the Saints is they haven't protected well, and they've struggled versus man coverage. And the Saints play more two-man coverage than any team in the league. About a quarter of their snaps versus quarterback dropbacks are two-man coverage, meaning two deep safeties and man across the board. Lattimore has gotten the best of Evans more than Evans has gotten the best of Lattimore. Evans has to be a factor in this game. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson's a really good slot. So, that matchup with Godwin is going to be fascinating. We'll see. They're going to have to win against man coverage, and they're going to have to protect. Because Brady's throwing the ball exceptionally well. Yeah. But he's not a mover. So, he can't just sit in the pocket and wait. You know, the ball's – and he's good at that, by the way. But the ball's going to have to come out, and we'll see. If they can win versus man, they've got a very legitimate chance in this game because he's throwing it really well.
Do you think that Kappa injury, Adam or Greg, is because he's out, right?
He's going on IR. Yep.
He missed the Week 9 game as well because I thought they played Joe Hagan's side, if memory serves me correctly, and he just got handled.
I was just going to say he's not very good. Trey Hendrickson, he just needs to get cleared medically and he'll go.
Didn't Marpet miss that game though?
Maybe it was Marpet. It might have been Marpet. It was one of the guards missed the game, and Joe Haig played inside and was exposed.
Yeah, I'm going to call that up right now.
It is Haig. It was Haig at left guard. No, Cap. Yeah, Kappa played. Haig played at left guard. Correct.
Right. Yeah. Marpet missed that game. Yep. But in theory, Greg, I mean, to boil it down to, I know you love the blueprint. I'm saying that sarcastically, but, you could argue the blueprint has always been against Brady, pressure with four and man up on his guys and not give him those windows and zone, right? I mean,
inside pressure too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they're going to play a lot of man because they feel good about it. And then, so they'll play a lot of man coverage.
And they know it's coming, guys. So, how do they offset it? How do they deal with it?
Now, Antonio Brown is obviously a much more significant part of their pass game now than he was. So we'll see. I mean, he's become a factor.
Godwin did have a terrible game last week. I'm sure he can shake it off, but it does feel like Greg Brown's a little bit of an X factor right now, especially given that Evans Lattimore history, which is not really in Evans's favor.
And, the other matchup that could be intriguing is, Cameron Brate is very athletic. I know Gronk's there too. I'm not suggesting Gronk's not a factor, but Brate's very athletic.
He moves well.
We'll see how many snaps Brate gets. He got a lot of snaps and a good number of targets this past week against the football.
Some big plays, which is, if you look at his yards per catch over his career, I didn't see this coming.
Yeah, he's an athletic guy.
I know.
They have been sketchy against tight ends, Greg. You told us early on when they're in man-to-man, Jenkins was a little shaky.
Jenkins is predominantly, and he's been better as the year's gone on, but he's predominant. When they play two-man, he is the tight end matchup. Two-man out of dime, that is, when they have six DBs.
And they get White back this week and McClellan, the nose tackle, so that's
good. Right. They have given up three touchdowns to the tight end this year. How important is, them getting going on the running game? Greg, the running game has been a little underwhelming. It's been pretty good. It feels like not lately because it's been all Brady, but I would imagine.
Well, Leonard last week, and I don't know if he goes again this week, but he actually had some sustaining runs last week. So against a good Washington front too. So it wasn't as if the defense was bad.
So there was less toe tapping?
Yeah, he kind of hit it up last week. He had more 6, 7, 8 yard runs, that's what you expect from someone like Fournette at 225, 230 pounds. So he actually, and again, it's a good Washington front. So, we'll see. I know what is Ronald Jones' status?
He worked some today, so he's still questionable, but he did work some today.
I mean, it could be Leonard again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as we've always said, Leonard probably looked better cause he knew he was the guy and he got the ball.
Carries last week.
19 carries. That's what we said all summer. I'm like, you don't want to really bring in Leonard unless you're going to give him the ball now. They had a competition there. Maybe it brought out the best of Ronald Jones, but who knows? But overall, very, very tough, even matchup. I don't know if Brady loses to the same team three times in a row.
But, John, the problem has been the Buccaneers secondary. I don't know what has happened. Greg would know better. He's watching the tape. But the second half of the season, John, their defense has been really disappointing.
I mean, I'm looking for answers. I talked with Greg Allman from The Athletic this morning. Yeah. Didn't really get much, Greg, the answer to the question of, why aren't the Bucs a little bit better on defense? I mean, I believe the answer was, the pass rush hasn't been all that great. That's a starting point.
Yeah.
But also their coverage, I don't know. They've had bus breakdowns.
Murphy Bunting has given up a lot of production. I was looking at numbers that their corners have given up. It's Murphy Bunting's been the guy's
been. I don't think their corners have played particularly well over the last half of the season.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be interesting because Todd Bowles likes to do a lot of things. You know, he likes to disguise. He likes a lot of late movement. You have to try to slow down Breeze process. You have to. You can't just line up and play. So they'll do all this. The question is, will it work?
Yeah, I think maybe it's a function, too, of Breeze is a guy who just gets rid of the damn ball.
Oh, he does. He does.
You know, and that's...
He wants to hit that back foot and have the ball come out.
They have a good line, man. They're off the line.
So it's... I'm still leaning toward picking Tampa, but this is close.
What's the spread in this game?
3.
Oh, I would...
Dead even. You know,
what's the total?
It's like 52.
Okay.
I thought there'd be.
I'm picking the Saints because the Bucs secondary scares the heck out of me.
It's fair.
So disappointing the second half.
Totally fair. Now, of course, Tampa does have that defense. Otherwise, maybe slow down an Alvin Kamara. But Greg, I thought Michael Thomas looked really freaking good last week. Did he stand out to you on? Did you see the film of Thomas?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I watched the Saints.
I mean, because we haven't seen him in a month. I thought he looked pretty fresh.
Oh, in fact, Johnny's not even on the injury report, so he came out healthy. That's good.
Yeah, no. He's back. I mean, you know, you got the Kamara factor. This will be interesting to see how the, how the Bucs want to play this, because this is a tough deal. I mean, the Saints are, you've got – the key thing is you just can't let Breeze, and it's hard – but you can't let him get into that easy, comfortable rhythm.
Yeah. But, we'll wrap it up here. I think the other thing that has me leaning still toward Tampa is if we look at these two old men, I mean, Brady's playing a lot better right now.
41 and 43.
It feels like Brady, the arrow is actually pointing up. Whereas Breeze really well. Feels like Breeze. I mean, it really does feel like this is the end for Breeze. I mean, do you get that sense watching the tape that there is that noticeable drop off from like even just last year?
I mean, he's certainly different. I don't know if it's noticeable from a year ago, but he's different. He can't really drive the football. Never had a big arm. But I mean, you go back a number of years when he was making all those seam throws to Devery Henderson and then to Ginn. Yeah. I mean, you don't see those throws in their offense anymore. But, one player who's fascinating in this game for the Saints is Deontay Harris.
Yeah.
Like how about
Joker guy.
He was the guy who was making highlight plays in practice and training camp, and then he just never really got much of a shot. When he did earlier for Thomas, he didn't do well. But man,
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's Tyreek Hill, but he's got that kind of juice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hell, I forgot he existed because he was on IR, right?
Yeah, he was. His
last game, by the way, was – Week 9 against the Bucks, and then he just came back this week again for the Bears.
Correct. Yeah. But when Thomas was out earlier this season, they had a bunch of guys hurt. He had to play a lot, and he just didn't show up. But I'm telling you, training camp, he was circus catches, amazing talent.
And to play your point, John, about Breeze, he's the kind of guy you can get the ball to quickly, and he can turn it into something.
Yeah.
So you'll see him. You might see him on jet sweeps. You might see him on orbit reverse action. You want the ball in his hands.
Yeah, huge week last week. Holy smokes.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, Greg, you're doing the damn matchup show. So we don't want to say forget about the matchups, but it does feel to me like a weekend. Just sit back and watch the damn games here because, you can
analyze. Oh, it's a great weekend. They're all good, right?
Yeah.
The Cleveland game does worry me a little bit for Cleveland because, like I said earlier, if they're behind – it could get ugly.
The other thing too, Adam, which you mentioned, and hopefully he's cleared. I always like to see the best players play.
Yeah.
Hopefully Betonio can go.
Yeah.
Because then you've got Dunn, who got hurt last week too. So I don't know who's going to play left guard.
Yeah, Dunn's done. Yeah,
he's Betonio on IR. Can't go. Yeah. I forget who came in. I'm trying to remember the name. I can't remember. I should. But then you got Chris Jones in there.
One other thought, Adam, too, is looks like the Saints are going to get Tre'Quan Smith back.
That's right. He is due to come back.
Yes. Yeah.
He was allowed to come back after the first playoff week.
I mean, he's got a lot of juice. He's got juice.
They're going to be loaded. No doubt about it. Yeah. Coming into the game. Oh, this kid, Kendall Lamb. Kendall Lamb.
Well, he played right tackle for Cotton. Right.
And then this kid, Hance. This H-A-N-C-E.
Hance. Oh, yeah. You know what? I saw the name and I said, God, I watched him in college. He went to Northwestern. He came out of Northwestern. I actually watched him.
They're out of players, so yeah, they need him to play.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we covered it all here. Only four games, nice and easy and quickly completed here. We probably went a little too long. So we'll wrap it up. The DFS podcast or live stream, I believe, coming your way later on tonight here at fantasypoints.com. So for Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell, our guy Ben Kukanis on the other side of the glass, we appreciate you watching this and hanging out on the website. Good luck with all your fantasy plays and prop bets. I'll have my prop stuff up this weekend, actually tomorrow, my DFS stuff. So for Adam and Greg, I'm John. And for Ben, good luck this week. We'll talk to you next week at fantasypoints.com.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Fantasy Points Podcast. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite platform. And come join the roster at fantasypoints.com.